It had been more than 15 years since I'd donated blood, so I decided it was time to give again. My local Washtenaw County Red Cross has a brand new building. It's brand new to me, anyway. And when you go in to donate blood...
Did you get a chance to read everything in our book out there?
I did.
One of the things they ask you to do is to sit in a room by yourself and answer some questions. A lot of questions. More than 45 questions on a computer screen.
When you have finished with these questions, I want you to open that door. That'll tell me to come on in and finish it up. These are completely confidential, so we want you to be in a closed room when you do this. And it's pretty simple, yes, no, or skip, okay? So
this is known as the self-deferral questionnaire. And depending on your answers, they might not want your blood. They ask questions like, in the last year...
Have you had a tattoo or a body piercing? Have you had an accidental needle stick? Have you come into contact with anyone else's blood? Have you had sexual contact with anyone who has HIV or AIDS?
The list goes on. And then there's the question that many say needlessly keeps some men from donating blood.
Male donors from 1977 to the present. Have you had sexual contact with another male, even once?
When I was a junior in high school, I knew I was gay, but I wasn't out at the time.
Today, Kyle Carlson is a second-year law student in Chicago.
And I went to a school blood drive, and I was shocked to be asked about my, same-sex sexual history. It was kind of a shocker, and it always stuck with me.
At the time, he thought there must be a good reason for keeping all gay men from giving blood.
So it kind of just simmered until after I came out and had an opportunity to study it in a little greater detail, where I found out that the scientific underpinnings of the policy are kind of not there.
Today, Carlson runs the website Saving Lives with Helpful Guys and is working to change the policy that keeps all gay men from donating blood. The policy does not come from the American Red Cross. It comes from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. That's the agency responsible for making sure the nation's blood supply is safe. The policy was put in place back in 1983. The acronym for the disease AIDS had just been coined the year before, and scientists were struggling to understand the emerging epidemic. At the time, there were no reliable tests that could detect the virus, so the FDA decided that banning all gay men from donating was the safest way to protect the blood supply. But many medical professionals, politicians, and others say a lot has changed in 30 years. We know how the disease spreads, primarily through unprotected sex and unsterilized needles. The disease still disproportionately affects gay men, but the FDA says prevalence of the disease is rising in young heterosexual women. Today, blood tests can detect the virus in a little over a week after exposure. Dr. Barry Siegfried is a medical director for the American Red Cross. He says the Red Cross supports changing the lifetime ban for gay men.
We feel that it's not supported by the evidence, that it is discriminatory in the sense that it's different from other high-risk groups.
Siegfried says the policy should be changed to at least reflect the one-year deferral period for other groups. Under the current policy, gay men who are in a monogamous relationship and have protected sex are still banned for life. But people who have had sex with a prostitute or an intravenous drug user are only deferred from giving blood for 1 year. The deferral period gives a potential disease enough time to show up on a test, and 1 year is plenty of time for today's HIV tests. A one-year deferral still would prevent sexually active gay men from donating blood, but advocates say it would at least end the lifetime ban. But others say protection of the blood supply is not about the donor. It's about the people who get the blood. People with hemophilia are at risk for excessive bleeding, and they're dependent on the blood supply. They take injections to help their blood clot normally. In the 1980s, people with hemophilia were devastated by the AIDS epidemic. Around half of them contracted HIV. So as a group that is dependent on the supply, they're cautious about making changes to the FDA's screening process. Mark Skinner is the president of the World Federation of Hemophilia. Last year, a federal advisory group was considering whether or not to change the lifetime ban on gay men. Skinner testified in front of that group.
We said right up front in our testimony that we recognize the policy is discriminatory. We fully appreciate that, and we are willing to work to remove a discriminatory practice if it does not harm the public health, and that's why we called for a research agenda to do that.
The federal advisory group ended up calling the lifetime ban on gay men, quote, suboptimal. They recognize the self-deferral policy allows some high-risk individuals to donate while turning away some low-risk individuals. But they voted 9-6 to keep the ban in place, and they called for more research. Just last week, the Department of Health and Human Services announced plans for studies that could eventually lift the lifetime ban on all gay men. Those studies are dependent on funding, and they could take years to complete. For Michigan Radio News, I'm Mark Brush.